Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. My co-host is Dr. Ray Pritchard of Keep Believing Ministries. Ray, talk a little bit about Keep Believing Ministries. Let folks know what they can find if they go to your website and et cetera, et cetera.
Hey, and let me talk about this study, the book of Daniel that we're in. I've been started about 2 weeks ago, and tonight, I'm doing it on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night, live video broadcast on Facebook, Facebook Live. And we've got people from all over the country and around the world who've joined us for the study of the book of Daniel. No better book if you want a picture of God's hand in the midst of the chaos of the world. Read the book of Daniel. So tonight, Ed, we're on God's graffiti, which is the story of the handwriting on the wall from Daniel chapter 5. I start at 7 p.m. Central Time on Facebook Live. Now, tomorrow, it'll be posted on our website, which is keepbelieving.com. But if you want to join it live tonight, just go to Facebook and type in Keep Believing Ministries. Facebook, and then Keep Believing Ministries. That'll take you right there. There's no charge. You can join the online Bible study, God's Graffiti, Daniel 5, Facebook Live tonight at 7 p.m.
I love that, God's Graffiti. Now, but you know, is it graffiti if God does it? How many angels can take his finger
and write anything he wants anytime he wants it. Nobody's going to be talking to him about anything.
How many angels can dance on the head of a pen? You know,
as many as the Lord wants.
I tend to sometimes ask these ridiculous theological questions. All right, no. So check Dr. Ray Pritchard out. He is a wonderful Bible teacher. We wouldn't have him on if he wasn't. I mean, you know, we don't go for the mediocre people. We want people who will really encourage you and build you up in your faith and enlighten you about the truth of God. So check that out. Keep Believing Ministries, you said, is Facebook?
Keep Believing, yes, on Facebook, the Keep Believing Ministries page. Type in Keep Believing Ministries. It'll come right to us.
Or if you want to go to the webpage, keepbelieving.com. Thank you, Ray. All right, Steve Jordahl, reporter from OneNewsNow.com, is now joining us in studio. Good morning/good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good day.
Good day,
everybody.
I like it.
And hey, Ray, you know, Daniel has fascinated me for a long time, and I've always wondered, can you completely and thoroughly explain all the prophetic visions of the end times in there? I think we've got 15 seconds. Go.
I can do something with some of them. The further you go in the book, the more challenging they become.
Boy, no kidding. No kidding.
All right, Steve, what do we got story-wise?
Well, just a short while ago, less than an hour ago, Joe Biden delivered a speech. He was in Philadelphia, got out of his basement bunker, and went to Philadelphia. You know, he kind of had to start getting out because President Trump's kind of showing him up as he walks across the street to visit. That was remarkable, by the way. Just, I know you guys talked a little bit about the visit to St. John's Church last hour, but just remarkable that the president would get out and go walk across the street in the middle of this whole rioting thing. Anyway, Joe Biden was in Philadelphia, delivered a speech, and basically what he said was, I will not, this is a quote, I promise you this, I won't traffic in fear and division, I won't fan the flames of hate, I will seek to heal the racial wounds that have long plagued the country, will not use them for political gain. He had kind of 8 years of trying to do that under President Obama, and things just got worse. I'm not so sure what his tack is going to be, how he's going to change direction now, but I don't know. Any thoughts about that?
Well, listen, I think that former Vice President Joe Biden has become almost irrelevant to the political discussion during the kind of the lockdown. I think he's trying to get back out. He attempted to have some things where he would speak to it, but it and listen, I'm not even making that as a comment about him as a candidate. He was in a very difficult situation. First of all, when you are an incumbent like President Trump, you're always in the news, okay? Your name is out there. You are always relevant because you say something, the media, everyone else talks about it. You do something, the media and everyone else talks about it. If you're a typical politician opposing an incumbent, you can get out there on the campaign trail. You can make speeches. And the news says former Vice President Joe Biden was in Cincinnati this week, and he's been under kind of lockdown like a lot of other people in America. He wasn't able to do that. So I think he's probably desperate to try to make an impact. I don't really know what he's thinking in terms of these things. I don't take those comments very seriously. But listen, he's in a tough spot. He's got to create some some noise somewhere along the line to get noticed.
He does indeed. It's interesting. One of the things, Tucker Carlson, let's go here. I know you mentioned a little bit about this last hour. Tucker Carlson had an epic monologue. It was more than 30 minutes straight.
I was talking about that the last hour.
I heard you say that. I wanted to bring you a little bit of an excerpt from it and then kind of go into what he said. He took on, as you said, he took on conservatives in this speech. And in fact, he took on President Trump. He took on Vice President Mike Pence, was kind of critical of him, had nothing good to say about Nikki Haley. And
I was a little surprised about that because I thought Nikki Haley was kind of one of the darlings of the conservative community. But her comments probably rightly deserve some criticism.
Right.
But anyway, so who else did he?
Well, the only other name that I found in here is Kay Cole James, who is the head of the Heritage Foundation and everything. So what he is calling these people out for basically is for not coming down harder on these protesters, the kind of whitewashing the riots, not the protests, the riots. I want to play you just a little bit of a clip. This is cut 11. This is a little bit of what Tucker had to say.
Almost all of our so-called conservative leaders joined the left's chorus as if on cue. On Friday, as American cities were being destroyed by mobs, the vice president of the United States refused to say anything specific about the riots we were watching on television. Instead, Mike Pence scolded America for its racism. Meanwhile, Kay Cole James, who is the president of the Heritage Foundation, that's the largest conservative think tank in the country, Kay Cole James wrote a long screed denouncing America as an irredeemably racist nation. Quote, how many times will protests have to occur? Have to occur. Like the rest of us caused this by our sinfulness. The message from our leaders on the right, as on the left, was unambiguous. Don't complain. You deserve what's happening to you. Donald Trump's response to these riots, which is ongoing, is the singular test of his presidency. For people who like Donald Trump, who voted for Donald Trump, who support his policies, who have defended him for years and years against the most absurd kinds of slander, the first requirement of leadership is that you watch over the people in your care. That's what soldiers want from their officers. It's what families need from their fathers. It's what voters demand from their presidents.
And on he went. I have asked Brent to post the entire transcript of this along with a video up on our Facebook page. And you can watch if you have a half an hour or so to go through.
It was very, very good.
It was good. He has a way of boiling things down to kind of the nut of things. To say that people are not taking this, coming down hard enough on the looters, I want you to hear something that Seattle City Council member Tammy Morales said. She was warning her fellow city council members not to come down too hard on these looters. This is cut 10.
But what I don't want to hear is for our constituents to be told to be civil, not to be reactionary, to be told that looting doesn't solve anything. And, you know, it does make me wonder and ask the question why looting bothers people so much more than knowing that across the country, Black men and women are dying every day and far too often at the hands of those who are sworn to protect and serve.
Why does looting bother people?
That is a stupid comment. Has our country become that dumb that people can't answer? A high school debate student could answer that comment. You can be angry about more than one thing at a time. You can be upset that, yes, some young Black men appear to have been targeted by police in rare occasions, I guess, in terms of losing their lives. And you can also be upset about the George Floyd incident and be upset at riots and looting at the same time. Ray, I gotta rein myself in here before I say something that I have to ask for forgiveness for. But that is ludicrous.
That woman has lost her mind, and I think for most Americans, just by saying that, she's lost whatever little credibility she ever had. Anybody who attempts to defend the looters who come in, break into, whether it's a Target or whether it's the local grocery store, and as we have covered, in too many cases, it's the stores in minority-owned stores in minority neighborhoods that are suffering at the hands of the looters. What is wrong with people? What is wrong with people that they want to say one word in defense of that?
Yeah.
but let me just say this, just to go back to what we were talking about in the last hour. To me, that increasingly is the mindset of the progressive left. And again, we try to use the air quotes here. You can't see us if you're just listening to the radio. The progressive left is increasingly becoming radicalized to where a statement like that, when I was growing up, that woman would have been recalled and bounced from the city council for absolutely showing support for looters, for criminals, for criminal behavior. Right. But in 2020, the radical left has made so much progress in creating a fog in the minds of so many young people and so many people on the left, having taken over the liberal left in this country, that city councilwoman is going to remain in power, making decisions. This is Seattle, making decisions affecting the people of Seattle. I'll say one other thing. You get what you deserve, Seattle. Yeah. You voted her into office. Right. You re-elect her. Right. You get the government you deserve. Mm-hmm.
From the polar opposite end of the ideological spectrum, I want you to hear Sheriff Grady Judd, who is the sheriff of Polk County, Florida. This is what he had to message to these ne'er-do-wells who are looting. This is Cut 7.
We have received information on social media that some of the criminals were going to take their criminal conduct into the neighborhoods. I would tell them if you value your life, you probably shouldn't do that in Polk County, because the people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns. And they're going to be in their homes tonight with their guns loaded. And if you try to break into their homes to steal, to set fires, I'm highly recommending they blow you back out of the house with their guns.
Wow.
This sheriff, apparently, I heard that, I think last night, I think I saw that and heard it. Apparently, so I started doing a little checking up on him. Apparently, he's famous in this is Polk County, Florida, right?
Polk County, Florida, kind of the Joe Arpaio of Florida.
Yeah, he's, in fact, one of the things he said was, this goes back, I don't know how many years this goes back, but his officers shot and killed a cop killer who had been on the loose, and there was a firefight. This cop killer was shot 68 times. The media asked this sheriff, what's his name again?
Grady Judd.
Grady Judd asked him why his officers shot him 68 times, and he said because they ran out of bullets.
Oh, my gracious. So oh, my
this
gracious.
Guy is a, wow. So he's famous or infamous, depending on how you view that kind of brash talk. But listen, let me just say this, Ray. If the police don't do their job, they are not allowed to do their job by mayors of large cities, then people are forced to defend themselves. We do not want that. I would hate to shoot somebody in my home. I don't want to do that. So the police have to do their job. And for mayors of cities to tell their police force, no, abandon the precinct, don't stop the looters. What you're doing is putting people in the unenviable position of having to violently defend themselves, and that is not what a civilized country is.
Well, we've got good American people, good American citizens who are going to the gun stores now, including some people who said, I don't want guns, I don't need one, who said, traditionally, I let the police have the guns, I don't want one. But we've got good, thoughtful people across the political spectrum, we can say this, who have said, if lawlessness is going to reign in our country, then I need to do something to protect myself, my property, and my family. And I just want to say, right, that's exactly right. Who can blame them? When you've got looters who apparently in some cases are pretty well organized, right, and without who evidently are willing to break into anything and get what they want, you can't blame American citizens for using their Second Amendment rights to defend themselves.
I don't think it's just that they're angry. They are indeed protecting their way of life, their living.
Yes.
If a business is burned out, some of these people will starve without their business. That's how they live.
And apparently insurance does not completely cover. I've been reading a couple of stories of black-owned businesses and the owners saying, listen, no, my insurance is not going to cover all of this. Some of them have lost their life savings. They're ruined.
To be clear, it's not because they're black-owned, but just because,
No, what I'm saying is they are minority business owners in minority communities that have suffered at the hands of rioters and looters, and they're going to lose everything that they put into having that business in that minority community.
Indeed.
I go back to what the elderly, she seemed older, the black lady in whatever community it was, weeping because the stores in her community had been burned out. She said, the buses aren't running anymore because of the riots. How am I going to this is where I bought things for my livelihood.
Right.
Where is she going to go? Who's going to answer that woman?
Yeah, no, it's a valid question. Speaking of businesses, some businesses are trying to be socially conscious, I suppose. There's a pizza chain that I had not heard of. It's back east, I think. Well, back east. I'm speaking like a Californian there.
Yes.
It's And Pizza. It's the ampersand sign.
Oh, okay.
Pizza, that's the name of it. Yeah. Anyway, they are saying that they are going to give their employees paid leave to go protest. This is what is up on their webpage. For those in this pain, for those in this fight, we stand with the black community against racial hatred and injustice in memory of George Floyd and in unity always. From this day forward, And Pizza will be giving its employees paid time off for activism. For those unseen by this country to be seen, for those unheard by this government to be heard. So my question is, if I work there and I say, okay, fine, I've got an activism thing, I'm going to be going down to the local Planned Parenthood and I'm going to be praying in front of that and
they're going to pay you to
save babies. So they're going to pay me to do that?
No.
Listen, I'm all for capitalism. I personally am for capitalism restrained by Christian principle. I respect the ownership of a private company to do what they believe is right. I don't care for virtue signaling. I have no idea whether that's what this is. I also don't like it when companies choose one side, only one side, of these cultural issues. Because then I say, well, if you're okay, that's fine. You want to pay your workers if they want to go and protest over the killing of George Floyd, fine. If you're going to punish your workers who want to go down to the Planned Parenthood, then I'm not going to go buy your pizza.
Right.
So they have that freedom. I have my freedom as well. I vote with my wallet frequently.
Yeah, indeed.
So Ray, you want to kick in? You want to rant?
Listen, I'm going to no. I'm just going to skip whatever And Pizza, whatever the name of that place.
Yeah,
I'm skipping.
I think that's what you say. Yeah,
I'm going to Papa John's. Thank you.
There you go.
There you go. So Twitter, you know, is being a little critical of the president and telling what he can and can't tweet. Unfortunately, it seems they don't have a problem with the following. There is an Egyptologist professor. Her name is Sarah Perrick. She teaches Egyptology at a university, which is escaping me at the moment, which one. But she has posted, she's at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. She has posted directions on, well, let me just read her first tweet. PSA for anyone who might be interested in how to pull down an obelisk safely from an Egyptologist who never, ever in a million years thought her advice might come in handy. By the way, there's an asterisk after the word obelisk, maybe masquerading as a racist monument. I don't know. So an obelisk is a long, straight, big, well, think Washington Monument, because that's what she was thinking about.
Yes.
And she is telling people and how to tear down the Washington Monument. It would be quite the feat, because it involves people pulling on chains and ropes from two sides of this structure. But, I mean, Twitter's leaving that up.
Yeah, Ray, that sounds perfectly fair to me, doesn't it? That Twitter, you know, that checks what the president has to say and pulls down this or that tweet, but then somebody advocating and offering instructions on how to destroy public property.
There are times when truth is stranger than fiction. That actually sounds like something that you'd see in a Babylon Bee kind of article, a satire. But she meant it. Yep. She meant it. What sort of demented mindset gives you that leads you to the place where you're saying, let's tear down the most single, most significant, most easily visible monument in our nation's capital? It's just crazy.
This is the radical left in 2020. They hate our founding fathers. They hate the ideas underlying the Constitution, and they want to get rid of it. And so they're starting with the memories of these very, very, very smart but flawed human beings who laid the foundation, the bedrock ideas of our constitutional republic. And so they're going after those individuals, the monuments that upheld them. I mean, going at defacing the Lincoln Memorial.
Right.
What's your end game here? I mean, you have a problem with Abraham Lincoln?
And Lincoln?
The great emancipator? I mean, what is your end game? I think the end game is a Marxist globalist country.
Yeah.
And they'll overthrow whatever they can. If that means the Washington Monument, they'll do it if they can get away with it.
Yeah.
It's no longer George McGovern and the liberal left against the conservatives in this country. The Democratic Party has been taken over by radicals, and like AOC, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and I hope it costs them in elections. Yep. I hope most Americans don't support these kind of radical ideas.
I guess we'll find out in November.
Yeah.
All right, just before we close, Black Entertainment Television, BET, has a founder named Robert Johnson, who has actually been kind of in the middle of the road when it comes to a lot of things. He said some things that conservatives probably wouldn't mind, but he is calling for reparations, maybe the way to get to repair relationships with the Black community is to pay them for the pain and suffering that they've had because of slavery back in the 1800s and before. But he is calling for $14 trillion to be paid out to the descendants of slaves or African American community.
Trillion with a T.
With a T. I did the math.
Wow.
That comes out to somewhere in the neighborhood of $292,000 for every man, Black man, woman, and child in this country.
Okay. Well, first of all, that's a lot of money. trillion.
Wow.
We're talking $14 trillion. No way we can deal with that issue here with the clock winding down. First of all, it's not going to happen.
I think that's a way to deal with it.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Right. We can't afford that kind of money. We're going to have to find another way to get poor minorities into the American dream if there's some systemic reason preventing them from doing so. We're going to have to find a different way to do it. And I don't think all the reasons for poverty in this country have to do with systemic issues. So anyway, that's a discussion for another day. To the CEO of BET?
The founder.
No. Okay, we can't do that. All right, folks, that's all we got for today's issues. More great programming directly ahead. You're listening to American Family Radio.